Good morning. Very moving, powerful scene from a well-known movie that has a lot of disturbing scenes in it. It's not, certainly not for everyone, certainly not something to show your young children by any means. But it makes a powerful point. And it's something that we should ask ourselves. We don't have, thank God, concentration camps here in this country. But what would thrill your heart more? Winning $10 million or winning a neighbor to Christ? What would thrill your heart more? Winning a new car or winning a coworker to Jesus? Which is more important? Which is worth more? Which should your priority be in life? Today, the title of our message is Your Mission in Life. It's often said that the great big questions in life include things like, where do I come from? Why am I here? What happens to me when I die? Well, of course, we can't tackle all those big questions here today, but I would like to spend some time on the middle question. Why am I here? Why are you here? What's your purpose in life? Is it to make money? Of course, we need to do that to live, but is that the only reason you're here? Is it to raise a family? Is it to be happy? To have fun? Or is there something bigger, something grander that encompasses things like that, but an overall purpose to your life? And if so, what is it? Jesus once said to his heavenly Father these words that are recorded in John 17, verse 18. Just as you, he's speaking to the Father, sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world, them being us. Well, this is a major hint about our mission in life. See, to discover our mission, according to this verse, we need to understand Jesus' mission. He says, I'm going to send them just as I was sent. So what was Jesus' mission? Well, it brings us back to a very familiar passage in John chapter 3. Begins at verse 16. And I'd like you to help me out when we get to the yellow letters. For God so loved the world, it says, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Now, if you put this together with what we already saw about Jesus being sent by his Father into the world, we see that our mission is grounded in his mission of bringing salvation to the world. This is our mission. This is your mission. To take part in God's plan to save the planet, to save it from perishing. How? By leading people to believe in Jesus Christ, the one who died for our sins on the cross, paid for the redemption of the world when he died on that cross, and then he was raised gloriously from the dead. In general, that's our mission, your mission, my mission. But, of course, each person has a different role to play in fulfilling that mission. A few of us are called to be pastors or missionaries or maybe evangelists or Christian music artists or leaders in some other capacity, Christian education workers. But most of us, the vast majority of us, serve Christ not in a professional way. It's not something you do for a living, but the way we live and talk in our jobs and at school and in our homes. That's your mission field. This morning, we're going to hear from some people who are fulfilling this mission in different ways. Ways that can inspire and encourage us in fulfilling the mission that God has given to each of us. And I'm hoping that as you sit here today and hear these words, these testimonies, you're going to be encouraged to fulfill that mission in your life. Christ's mission is our mission. First, I'm going to ask Judy Bernard, most of you know Judy, to come on up and share with us how she's been recently fulfilling this mission in her home. Come on over here, Jude, and just speak into this microphone. Maybe it's already been adjusted for you. Okay. And nice and close.
Oh, good morning.
Judy?
I felt that for the past year, God was leading me to really reach out to the lost. Having three girls at home, many days it seems like a college dorm with all their friends that would come over. Getting to know each and every one of their friends on a deeper level, I realized that there were many hurts in their lives. They had broken dreams, unforgiveness, family divorce. And at that time, I knew that each one of them needed additional support. I had my daughter contact some of the friends and let them know on Tuesday evenings I was going to have a get-together. I didn't feel comfortable at that time to say a Bible study. I thought it may scare a few people off. I trusted God. Whoever showed up that night, he would start breaking down the walls. I contacted a couple of my friends, Mary Ream and Dixie, to have them start praying for this, and actually Mary is helping me out with the Bible study. I talked to my daughter Jacqueline prior to the Tuesday, and I said, if no one shows up on Tuesday, that's going to be okay. I said, we're just going to pray for the lost. But to our excitement, on the first Tuesday, we had 10 people come, and 4 of those accepted Christ. We also had Lana come over last week and shared her testimony, which was a huge impact on the group. If God is tugging on your heart to take this leap of faith, if you have a heart for the Lord and a home, there is a huge mission field right in your own backyard, which consists of your neighbors, coworkers, and friends. It has been so unbelievable on how the Lord works out the details. As the kids all left on Tuesday, they said, we're going to see you next Tuesday, Mrs. Bernard. And at that point, we didn't even know if we were going to have the study weekly or monthly. So God is awesome. So I thank God for the opportunity to allow me to share Christ with my group and give God all the glory. I would also like to introduce to you now one of the people that attend my group, Ryan Lucia.
How's it going, guys? Well, it's a bad start with the clip and then Miss Bernard, who I've never seen get emotional like that, so kind of threw me off for a little bit. I just want to start off, thank you guys for taking time out to listen to me today. I just want to give a little background. I just recently moved back from Miami Beach, Florida, and the first question everyone asks is, why? Why did you move back? And I usually don't get into a big, long speech about it, but I basically moved down there after college with a buddy and a girlfriend and lived a life. The beach, the ocean, the weather, the parties, everything. And about 4 years ago, my best friend, who was my rock, like a brother, got cancer. And basically, as everyone knows about cancer, it's just horrible. But this was different because we didn't have any family because we were in Florida. So basically, for 3 years, I watched from the day that he found out to the day he took his last breath. And that was just it for me. From there, I just was floating through life. I didn't understand things. And one thing led to another where I was just partying, drinking, and didn't have a care in the world because I didn't understand why that would happen to someone. You know, as a 24-year-old man, when this happened, not now, I'm not 24, but when that happened, it was just, I felt lost and alone. And then I was just on a bad path, and one thing led to another, from losing my job to being unhealthy and just everything. And then about 2 months ago, I ended up coming back to Michigan because I had nowhere else to go. So at this point, I'm a 30-year-old man living in my parents' house, which looked like still from high school, out of shape, just unhealthy, and I was lost. And Miss Bernard, being a great friend that she is, told me about her group that she wanted to do. And I just needed somewhere to let things off my chest and like just try something different. And that's when I got a chance to meet Mary. I don't know if she's here today, but it was just great to sit there and let people know what was on and what's going on in my life and hearing my other friends, what's going on in their lives. And basically at that point, I realized I'm not in control of my life. And what I've been doing, it's not working. So at that point, I accepted Christ and realized, you know what? I'm gonna let him drive the boat, as I like to call it, because I like boats, and obviously, being from Miami. So you know what? I figured I'm gonna let him be in charge, and I'm gonna be here for the ride and just do what I need to do. So in the last month, everything's been great. My outlook on life is a 180, just being happy, healthy, meeting new people, and it's just, I just thank Miss Bernard for just showing me that way and giving me the strength to, you know, try something new, and it's worked, and I love it, and I'm a new person for it. So I just thank all of you guys, and you know, everyone can do it, and yeah, you know, but I'm just great. I'm a new person, and that's it. So
thank you. Great job. Wonderful. That's great. Man, isn't that great? And it's all because a woman, Judy, and her daughters, and some of her other friends, like Mary Ream, just said, hey, why don't we try to do something for the Lord? Why don't we try to reach out to some people? Let's have them over. Judy's not, you know, seminary trained. She's not a pastor or something like that. But she said, hey, I can do something. I have the life of Jesus Christ in me, and I can share that. I have what he's done in my life, and therefore I can pass it on. And look what happened. And now Ryan is up here testifying to you, and maybe some of you here who don't know Christ are hearing that word, and you're saying, you know, maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe I need Christ in my life. Maybe I need to turn my life over to him. Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful. At the end of your life, you don't want to be like Oscar Schindler saying, man, you know, I could have saved more. I could have brought more. You want to be able to say, I did everything I could. And by the grace of God, through my efforts, some came to know Jesus. Praise God. How is it going to be in your life? Maybe through having a little get-together at your home, maybe boning up on how to share the gospel with a person so that you know how to initiate a conversation and lead a person to Christ. There's so many different ways. We're going to now look, kind of shift gears from locally to internationally. You know, there are ways to spread the gospel all around the world. We have missionaries that we support here at Stony Creek Church. And one of them is the lady I'm going to introduce to you in just a moment. This is a rare treat. You may have never met her, but if you're a regular here and you contribute to this ministry, you are a partner in her ministry. Stony Creek Church is one of the churches which support the ministry of this servant of Christ who is doing astounding work for God in Haiti. She's one of our missionaries. In 2008, she and her CrossWorld team ministered to 1,649 children through 29 what they call Good News Clubs, 20 Sunday schools, and 21 five-day clubs, just to name a few of the things that she's involved in. And this Spirit-led work of God resulted in, get this, folks, 1,077 conversions to Jesus Christ in 2008 among the children. Folks, 1,077 people coming to know Christ. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it? Wow. That's amazing. That is kingdom work. That's rescuing. That's even greater than rescuing that many people. That's like Schindler's numbers here. But even greater, because they're not just rescuing people from an earthly hell, but an eternal hell. This is amazing. And on top of all those conversions, 175 teachers were trained in the process. Thank God that we here at Stony Creek Church have had the privilege of being a part of something like this. We're her supporters. We pray for her. If you get our prayer letter, her name is frequently brought up with prayer requests in there to pray for her. And we also support her financially. It's my privilege to introduce to you this woman, Lois Beadle. Come on up, Lois.
This morning, because we are partners. I couldn't be in Haiti doing what I'm doing if you weren't supporting me financially, but even more than that, supporting me with your prayers. I can't tell you how many days I've just been ready to quit and come back to the States where everything is so easy. But I know that God has called me to this ministry, and even on those days, the Lord sends little encouragements to keep me focused on what He has for me to do. Our theme verse for our ministry is found in Matthew 18, verse 14. And it says, "Your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost." A missionary said that Haiti's gross national product in Haiti is children. Haiti has children everywhere you go. As we train teachers to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with boys and girls, they go back to their neighborhoods. And most of our Bible clubs, what we call Good News Clubs, are held out in the open in somebody's yard because most Haitians only enter their house to sleep. So their houses are not very large. And so as they're in this yard, the minute they begin to sing, a group of children comes. And not only children, but teens and parents. And it's a ministry to a whole neighborhood. And I want to thank you for your part in that ministry. I have a PowerPoint to share with you. I'll be back by my display table afterwards. Come and talk to me. I'd love to share with you.
Very good. You know, Lois was telling me before the service, I asked her, what's the average temperature there in Haiti? And she says, about 90 degrees. So it's a hot place in more ways than one. God is working there. And it's, like I said, it's great to know that we have a part in that. Every time you give to Stony Creek Church, a portion of that goes towards Lois's support, along with the support of our other missionaries. However, after seeing this presentation today, God might be laying on your heart to talk with Lois and see, you know, how you might help her yourself individually. And I'm sure she'd be willing to talk to you about that, because it's a great and a needy ministry. Well, to kind of wrap up things today, we're talking about our mission in life. You might be thinking, okay, well, what can I do? I don't live in Haiti, you know, I'm not a missionary, and I don't feel real inclined to lead a small group like that. What can I do? Well, let me give you a few suggestions here of some things that we could consider in fulfilling our mission to reach the world. The first is share your testimony and the gospel with your unsaved friends. This is something we urge you to do on a regular basis here. Your testimony is your story, just like Ryan shared. It's how he came to know Christ. Every Christian has a testimony. If you've been saved, you've got a story. And it's unique. Nobody has the exact same story as you have. You can tell that story to someone, just as Ryan told his story today. And of course, then there's the story, the greatest story ever told, which is the gospel message. You can share that with your friends. It's a very simple message. You hear it here every Sunday, that we're all sinners, that we all deserve to go to hell for what we've done. But thank God he sent a Savior, Jesus Christ, who died in our place on the cross to bear the punishment for our sins. And then he arose from the dead. Every person, in order to be saved, needs to receive Jesus Christ as his or her personal Lord and Savior. Have you done that yet? You may be sitting here and say, I don't know that I've done that myself. If you haven't, or if you're not sure, or you'd like to talk to somebody, come on down here after the service, and Ron will be glad to talk with you. The people that our pastoral prayer team are happy to speak with you about that very important thing. But the rest of us need to be looking for opportunities and taking opportunities to share that message. Another thing you can do is invite unbelieving friends to church. You might say, you know, I just can't put it in the right words all the time, but at church, we hear that message all the time. If you invite a friend to church, chances are that person's going to hear the gospel and might get saved. Another thing that you can do is help support our missionaries. And that's by your regular gifts and certainly through your prayers. And in some cases, God may lay it upon your heart to do something yourself individually. Why not check out Lois's display back there? And, you know, don't put it past God. He might be calling some of us here in this room onto the foreign mission field. And so be open to that. Where is the Lord leading you in your life? What is his particular plan for you in this? And if you're interested in that, talk with me, or Lois, I'm sure, would be glad to talk with you as well about that, if you think God is calling you in that direction. And then, finally, we have share God's love in practical ways. You know, I've often said that the gospel message, that's the lyrics that people need to hear. But the music, the tune, the catchy tune, is the love of Christ. And we need to be sharing and showing the love of Christ with people all around us, because that makes the gospel attractive. We're supposed to do it anyway, but it makes the gospel attractive. And so, you know, in your daily life, be looking for ways to help people and do little acts of kindness. We even organize and do that today, this very day. There's a group of folks going over to the to Trinity Lutheran down to work in the soup kitchen right after church today. And Steve and Nikki Sternad sitting right there. If you're interested, talk with them. They can plug you into that kind of ministry. Other things you can do. Operation Christmas Child. There's a display back there about how you can help a needy child somewhere in the world through putting together a little shoebox with Christmas gifts in it. There's also this gift catalog that becomes available to people that get involved in this. This is fantastic. Through Samaritan's Purse, I'm telling you, there's all kinds of things that you can do through this. Like, for example, $6. If you send in $6, you can provide blankets and bedding for a child on a cold night, if you specify for that. You can buy a life-saving mosquito net for a child for a gift of $10. There's all kinds of gifts in here. You can purchase a goat for a family. I don't know what the price is on that. Pardon? $75. That provides milk for a family. Providing goat. Another one, there's $75 here. What they have to do, it's really sad, but there are children that have actually been sold into slavery. And Samaritan's Purse will go and buy children out of slavery. Can you believe this? This is going on in the world. And through your gift to Samaritan's Purse for, I think it's $75, it's in this catalog, you can literally help buy a child out of slavery. And in each instance, in all of these cases, whatever you buy, they not only do this good deed for some child or family, but they also share the gospel. Samaritan's Purse is headed up by Franklin Graham. That's Billy Graham's son. And it is a quality organization. This is not some flim-flam, fly-by-night kind of a thing where you send your money in and who knows what happens to it. No. This is a organization of integrity. And they will do with your money what they promise to do. And so how do we get these catalogs, Deb? Okay, we're going to have them available back there. And some of you may already be receiving these if you've given shoebox gifts in the past. You may be getting this gift catalog. I'm sure you can also go on to their website, Samaritan's Purse, and probably get this kind of information too. Samaritan's Purse, it's a great thing worth doing. So I'd encourage you along those lines. Right now, we're going to conclude our service. We're going to ask our ushers to come forward for this morning's offering. And our musicians are going to come and lead us in a final song. And as they do, if you're visiting with us today, please don't concern yourself with giving. This is our opportunity to minister to you. But think about what we've said. What is your mission? How are you fulfilling that mission? Do you need Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? You've never received Him. Let this be the day of decision for you of what God is doing in your life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for including us in your plan. Save the world through your Son, Jesus. I thank you for Judy and the great work she's doing with her group and the others that are with her. Thank you for Ryan for having saved him, Father, and welcomed him into the kingdom and into this church family. And thank you, Lord, for Lois and the great work she is doing over there in Haiti, where the darkness is thick and the light needs to shine. Continue to shine through her, Father, and through her co-workers, and bless her and encourage her and strengthen her, especially during those days when the work is discouraging. Father, I pray that you would receive these tithes and offerings from us as an act of worship, not to try to repay you or to gain your favor, but to show you our love for you. In Jesus' name, amen.